advocates of abstinence-only sex ed programs may have their hearts in the right place, but the statistics are not on their side. One well-respected study of abstinence programs found no delay in the loss of virginity, no impact on number of partners, and no impact on the frequency of sex. Texas may be the perfect place to examine what's going on with these programs. It receives more federal funding for abstinence education than any other state, but leads the nation in teen births. Journalist Katie Vince has written an article about the effectiveness of abstinence programs for the current issue of Texas Monthly. It's titled Faith, Hope, and Chastity. Is there any good way to teach your kids about sex? Hi, Katie.
Hi, Faith.
So let's talk about what's going on in Texas. Texas is one of the nation's leaders in abstinence programs. But what do the abstinence programs entail exactly?
Well, nationally, abstinence programs that receive federal funding have certain guidelines they have to follow. So, for example, Title V of the Social Security Act says grant recipients aren't permitted to advocate or discuss contraceptive methods except to emphasize their failure rates. And the two other streams of federal funding have similar requirements.
Now, when did abstinence-only programs start gaining in popularity? Because that's not what they talked to me about in eighth grade.
Right. It was 81, really. Ronald Reagan signed the Adolescent Family Life Act, and that mandated that programs funded with its $4 million be based in abstinence. And that was pretty much the beginning.
Okay.
It happened because the politicians were saying that we had an epidemic of teenage pregnancy. And in reality, the rate of teenage pregnancy from 60 to 75 remained constant. It was the birth rate that declined, and the sense of there being an epidemic was a result of there being more unwed teenage mothers, not more pregnancies.
Ah, okay. So the same amount of teenagers were getting pregnant, they just weren't getting married.
Yeah.
And so in 1996, that's when this Title V came up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which gave
mm-hmm.
this federal funding. So mm-hmm.
I should also point out that in addition to Title V, there's the community-based abstinence education, and that's really the big pot of money. Title V has $50 million, where CBAE, community-based abstinence education, has, I think now $113 million. And so that's a much bigger pot of money.
So let's be clear. Some schools teach comprehensive sex ed and some teach mm-hmm. abstinence only. Now, who makes right. that decision?
It depends on the state. In Texas, the local school boards are required to create something called the school health advisory committees, and those committees make the decisions. And the committee is composed of just various local community leaders.
Now, you write that to a certain extent, the whole debate over what to tell kids about sex boils down to condoms. What do you mean by that?
Right. I think the vast majority of comprehensive and abstinence-only advocates want kids to remain abstinent at least until they're out of high school. But a 2007 American Journal of Public Health report found that 86% of the decline in teenage pregnancy among 15 to 19-year-olds from 1995 to 2002 was attributable to improved contraceptive use. So, but regardless, some folks think that you need to err on the side of the parents who don't want their kids to learn about contraception at school, period. And kind of no exceptions.
How much information about condoms is in Texas sex ed programs? Because you write that only one of the four state-approved textbook mm-hmm. in Texas uses the word condom.
Right. And it's hard to say, you know, what information kids are receiving since there's no governing body keeping track of what the numerous advisory committees are deciding. They, you know, they even if the textbook doesn't have the word condom in it, they can use supplementary materials if the committee decides that that's what they're going to go with. But I can say, yeah, generally only one of the four has the word condom in it, and I think others just two of the four say barrier methods without any elaboration. They don't say what the barrier method is, and they go
yeah,
on
if
to
you're,
say.
If
yeah.
you're 13, barrier protection sounds a lot like just sort of putting your hands over your crotch.
Uh-huh. It does.
What's the argument of those who say it's not worth teaching teens about condoms?
The hardline proponents of abstinence only believe that any mention of condoms in a positive light sends a mixed message. So it's like they think it says you shouldn't be doing it, but hey, you're going to do it anyway, so let me show you what to do.
And then there's this woman you write about, Beverly Knuckles, a family doctor, who says that she saw a boy who had like 22 partners. He's 18. Mm. And that it's not worth teaching someone like that to use condoms.
Mm-hmm. She was saying that he wasn't using them right anyway.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk some more about the textbooks that are used for sex ed in Texas. I understand that some of the material is a little edited. It's a little airbrushed. Even the female anatomy has been tweaked. Can you explain?
And the male anatomy, too. The Texas State Board of Ed adopts new health textbooks every 8 to 10 years. And since the content of these books pretty well dictates what happens in the classroom, the adoption process has historically been very contentious. And in 94, that's when the far right really started, you know, getting a foothold in the state board. An image of a woman with a briefcase in her hand and a toddler looking up at her caused an uproar. Line drawings illustrating breast and testicular self-exams were considered too explicit, and the board asked one publisher to erase the clitoris from a drawing of the female anatomy and reduce the size of the penis in a drawing of the male anatomy, which, you know, people started just throwing Lorena Bobbitt jokes around publishing houses. And I should add, too, I looked at the books today, and sure enough, there's a paragraph instead of an illustration telling kids how to perform a self-exam, and I could only find one student textbook that included a clitoris in the drawing of the female anatomy.
So this is what's wrong with America, Katie.
Yeah.
That right there, that the clitoris is not being talked about. There have also been some serious inaccuracies found in the curricula. Didn't one lesson plan state that touching a person's genitals can result in pregnancy?
A few years ago, the Government Accountability Office produced a brutal paper called The Content of Federally Funded Abstinence-Only Education Programs, and the report evaluated 13 of the most popular federally funded curricula. Some of them said things like, here's one quote, "The popular claim that condoms help prevent the spread of STDs is not supported by the data." There were a lot of other things I could go on. They're all online.
As I mentioned, the best study to date shows abstinence-only programs have no positive effect on teen sexual behavior. Why don't abstinence programs work?
It's hard to say. It would be nice if they did work. You just, you know, tell kids don't do it and leave it at that. But, you know, Douglas Kirby, who's really one of the national experts, believes there probably is an abstinence program out there that works, but we haven't found it.
So looking at Texas, 52.5% of teens are sexually active compared to a national average of 47%. Texas ranks fifth in teen pregnancies and first in teen births in the U.S., and that number is decreasing, but more slowly than the nation at large. So how do supporters of abstinence-only programs in Texas respond to this evidence?
Many feel they need to just keep getting the message out there and that the problem stems from, you know, a climate that's growing more and more saturated with sexual messages.
We have about a minute left, and I want to get you to give voice to Dr. Stan Weed. He's an outspoken national proponent of abstinence programs. Mm-hmm. What does he say? He says that they can work.
Well, and he told me that without any qualifiers that abstinence education works and that the media shows its bias in what it covers. But here's the thing. You know, everybody has a study they point to that shows their program works, and some studies have better designs than others. It's very difficult for a layperson to compare them, but you know, my referee, again, Douglas Kirby, said there have been six programs that have been evaluated with really strong design. All six of them that found that they abstinence programs don't have any positive impact on behavior. It's absolutely flat. And that there are a couple of weaker studies that do have encouraging results. But, you know, right now we don't have any. I don't know. I mean, I spoke to Dr. Weed and and it was just hard for me to kind of compare what he said to what Dr. Kirby said and make any sense of it.
Katie, do you think if federal funding for abstinence-only education went away, that programs would change?
I think the number of schools using those programs would change, definitely. Because, I mean, right now it makes the decision a whole lot easier if the federal government is going to pay for it.
Now, Katie, one of my colleagues had a sex ed teacher who happened to be your track coach, and for his lesson, he simply played Paradise by the Dashboard Light and handed out a questionnaire. So I think it's appropriate to go out with that, don't you?
Yeah.
Let's just sit back and enjoy this. Katie Vince is a writer for Texas Monthly. You can learn more about her at our website, morefairgame.org. Thanks, Katie.
Thanks, Faith.